Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Silverbacks Radio Sports Talk Show. And on this wonderful Sunday night in early April, I'm your host, John Robinson, one of the founders of Bat Complex back in 2014, which is home of the New York Silverbacks over in Somers, New York. I'm joined by my full team of co-hosts and managers. I'll introduce everybody shortly. We are broadcasting remotely, unfortunately. Typically, we like to run these shows in our studio in a group setting. It's a little bit more personable, a little bit more dynamic, but we'll do the best that we can. The purpose of this show is first and foremost to give our ever-growing community of Silverback players, parents, grandparents, extended families and friends a chance to hear some insight into our club, our teams, our training, players and recruiting, upcoming events, and other information related to our shared love of baseball. We'll also open up to questions and answers along the way. We'll take chat messages. We'll discuss other sport topics and related news. This will also give everyone a chance to get to know each of us a little better, the people running the day-to-day, pushing near and long-term programs and value. This is something that can become challenging as companies grow, keeping that personal touch, getting to know each and everyone. It's actually one of the things I miss the most right now. I enjoyed all the kids coming into work, also seeing the parents hanging around to watch. Even a handshake walking by made me feel great. And I know the rest miss it too. We're building something special. I hope that's the current takeaway from our short time together. The Silverbacks Club is a growing community of friends and family, hopefully long term. I'd like to now take a few minutes to give an update, sort of a state of the union, if you will. Then I'll introduce our co-hosts and managers. I'd like everyone to understand where we came from and where we're going. For those who are in their first year with the organization, after our first couple of years, we spent 2019 enhancing every part of our club. We took a hard look at what our mission was and what we wanted to become. So back in April, one of my original partners, Nick Frisco, and I took on a new operations expert, Doug Fidello. He's also an expert in sports science and performance. For months, we spent every day from about 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., typically 4 8-hour a day, nonstop, analyzing every aspect of the business. We would get to the point where the kids would come in at 5 o'clock and we wouldn't want to go home because everything was starting to kick off, and it was very exciting to see all the kids come in. After the fall season 2019, we focused our attention into improving baseball operations, and we made the decision to join forces with John Volpe and Mike Van Riper. It was probably one of the fastest mergers in the history of the world as we scrambled to work details out while promoting a tryout within about 2 weeks. And with all the buzz of us joining forces, we saw over 280 kids attend our tryouts over several weeks. Together, we have built a foundation for a tremendous experience for our kids. John and Mike have brought amazing value to the table. It's been a pleasure working with them. Our common goal has been making sure each and every kid benefits in some way. One of our mantras has been creating better baseball players by creating better people. What this means to us is that you can have the best training program, the best technology, the best coaches, but if the players are not ready or open to receiving the training, it creates misalignments, it creates resistance. So our developing culture is a holistic approach to developing a player, which means helping to develop a person. With the parents' help, we can make a great team in helping our kids get past all the stages of growing up while they enjoy the game of baseball. So with that said, we established relationships with companies like Family and Children's Aid in Danbury, Connecticut. Kevin McNeilis has been great to us, helping us set up the events with the MLB alumni, those free baseball clinics, coaches events. We intend to open up some of FCA's programs to our Silverbacks as we move ahead, services such as team bonding programs and other activities in order to help our kids achieve additional emotional and physical support as they progress, not only as student athletes, which they all are now, but as they turn from boys and girls into men and women. We're also in the process of developing our relationship with the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. There's a lot of things that we're working on in the background that have not yet been released. The long-term plan for our club is truly exciting. From our baseball training, additional services through our partners, current and future technology, and our growing community of players and families, that will continue to make us one of the best baseball clubs to be part of in the area. Now for the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and it's not a silverback. While we wait out this crisis, as painful as it has been, we continue to work and build. Management has been working on ways to offer training remotely. We're still working on new technology, and we're focused on being ready to roll once the gates are lifted. So the long and short of the story, Silverbacks Baseball has become a premier baseball club. We have enhanced our programs. We brought in great people. We picked up John Daugherty, former MLB pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. He's part of our staff, and it's tremendous having him around. So basically what we're saying now is we're in great shape for 2020. We want to say let the kids play. Well, soon enough, we hope. With that said, I'm going to introduce our co-hosts, Silverback Managers, and then I will open up their mics to let them speak a little bit about their roles and what's going to take place over the next couple of weeks, and then hopefully before we roll out the season. So, guys, I'm opening up your mics. You guys are going to be live on the air, and I will take it from there. Give me one moment. Okay, everyone is live. Good evening, everyone. How you doing? Say hi.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. How you doing? John Volpe, how you doing?
Hey, all right.
John Daugherty here.
So, excellent. So first up, I'd like to introduce Doug Fidello, our operations director and our sports science technology expert. Doug has been a tremendous partner and friend to me personally the last year. And again, we're building something special here. And I'd like him to take a few minutes just to discuss what we're trying to release in terms of an engagement system. Doug, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hello, everybody. Yes, very excited to be here, but under different circumstances, of course. But excited to talk about some new things and some knowledge that we've gained over the last month here of trying to figure out how to really work with online and remote learning and training. I think it's an exciting a proposition to try and focus on how to work with our staff and our team remotely, as well as providing this information through different technologies. I've had a great bunch of time with our team here trying to figure out the best tool sets. We're very excited that we have what we think is ready to go. We're doing some internal testing now and then starting to work with our staff to really to build out what we can go forward on.
That sounds great, Doug. Thank you very much. We're very excited, not only for the technology that we have right now. I mean, we've only basically it's the tip of the iceberg what we displayed to our families and our players. There's so much more behind it. I feel like we got sideswiped a bit with this virus, basically taking us out of action. Being in the facility every day, we were making a lot of great strides. So I'm thankful that you're still pushing along, and we look forward to what's about to be released to our community. Is Nick Frisco on the line? All right, Nick may not be with us tonight. Mike Van Riper, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, John.
Hey, Mike. Just like you to discuss, I'm sure you have a little bit of an agenda. Mike, you are our Director of Communications, our General Manager, and if you would be so kind to say a few words and you know, let the people know what's on your mind.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I just must say, like, I appreciate everything that everybody's been able to navigate. Thank you for the feedback. People have been very responsive in terms of communication, our parents, and we're really looking forward to get back out there as soon as we can. Been challenging, and we've been trying to make everything work the best we can, the fairest we can, as an organization, as we're trying to wind down and wind up at the same time, which is very challenging. But I agree with you, John. It's been like a whirlwind. I think this past fall, for us to, you know, Coach Volpe and I have been working together for a few years, and we've gone through a lot together. And for us to find you guys, find a really good fit, which we felt has been a really good relationship so far, be able to wind everything up really, really quick this fall, get the tryouts moving, get that many kids out to see us and get in front of us and really be able to get these teams in place. We just need everybody to continue to stay positive because we really feel we have a really good thing going right now.
Yeah, yeah. I joke with my dad, Mike, that I got tired of playing against you guys, so we brought you in. He's very happy to have you on.
Your dad is the best.
Dad's a smart man, John.
I think he liked the stories and the jokes that you had on the sidelines, John. That's sold the deal. So Mike, let me ask you a question. Coming from the ACES program, now dealing with 180 plus 200 kids equals 400 parents plus grandparents. How do you feel?
It's been exciting, overwhelming. I mean, one of the things that I've always loved in every single bit of work that I've done over the past 30 years or so has been interacting with parents, families, organizations, small businesses, et cetera. So getting to meet people, getting to interact with them, learn their situations, their stories, et cetera, it motivates me every day. It's why I love the position that you put me in here. So I always joke with everybody that, and I apologize when I forget somebody's name. And, you know, I was in a groove. I thought I was where I needed to be, and then this crap happened. So I'll be back out there, and, you know, I'm not going to miss too much of a beat. And like you said, there's a lot of grandparents out there I probably haven't met yet that I'll probably meet for the first time when we get out there playing. So really looking forward to that. And it's been fun meeting everybody and bringing our two families together.
I
Mike likes his new room, too.
Here, here.
I agree. Even from the first parent night that we had, it's the challenge is remembering all the names, but it comes quick when you're able to walk by, shake their hands, and have a little conversation. And that's what I miss the most. I mean, the frustrating part is being remote. This is a business where it's personable.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And as you get out there and you make your, one, two, three trips out of the house a week or whatever it is right now, getting to see a few familiar faces and all that, or, you know, and even the emails, you know, just interacting with folks, answering their questions, getting back to people, just brings some more normalcy back. So, you know, hopefully we're turning a corner right now. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves as a state, but you know, maybe some good things are on the horizon, and hopefully our leadership continues to, as a state, you know, ease our way back into this thing, and so we don't, once we get ahead, we can do things, ease back in, and do it the right way, so that we don't have to look back, and we can just kind of glide in and get some normalcy back.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the introduction, the challenges of running a show like this online and remote, it's a bit difficult to interact the way we really want, and hopefully moving forward, we're able to be in the same room where we can feed off of each other and sense the right dynamic. It's a little challenging, so we're doing the best we can. I want to bring John Volpe into the mix here. One of the things that I've been sensitive on, and I touched upon this in the intro in terms of people getting a chance to know more about us. You've had your program, John, you've had your program with the Aces, the Gators, et cetera. We had the Silverbacks, and people get comfortable with us as people. And we've multiplied our family base, double, triple. And people still may not know who we are or what we're about. And I think moving forward, this shows what we'll start to articulate each person, each character. It'll be more identified. And I think that's going to bring us closer to the parents. It's going to bring us closer to the kids. I want this to be a good family, a family show where kids want to listen in and parents want to participate. We have a chat box that's live right now that parents, kids, if you're listening, please feel free to use it. I will be reading it live. And when we go into our Q&A session, if you have a question, I'm happy to state it to the team. So John Volpe. And it's been a whirlwind that we went through those 2 weeks preparing for the tryout. I'm super impressed with how you
handled it. One of the most exhausting times I've ever been through, John.
It was a blast.
We got to see so many players, so many people, but just hours and on end. And you know, you would tell me, "Oh, here comes, we have four players coming in today," and all of a sudden, 14 show up, and you know, it was enormous, the response that we got from the community. It really was just a tremendous, tremendous response.
It's a testament to your reputation. It's a testament to our management team getting the word out. What I wanted to give you the chance to do real quick, take as much time as you need, is to just discuss a little bit about your philosophy in training, because I know we spoke about this a lot and we have a lot of similar beliefs and practices. You have such a great handle on developing a player from the footwork up through the release of the ball. The mechanical focus is something that not many clubs can actually execute. They may talk about it, but they don't actually execute it. Take the floor and give us your thoughts on that.
John, it's always been about basics. We just sent something out today. Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. You know, he said that's why he was great, because he never forgot about the basics and always practiced the basics. And that's what it is. And that's what we're trying to teach. That's the way to get better in this game. You know, we talk about how the game is built. It's built from the ground up. You have to have a foundation, just like a building. Without a foundation, you just can't do you can't get to the top floor. All right, and that's what we're trying to teach. Athleticism, something that we implemented this year full time, bringing Jerry North and his group in from North Star Sports. You know, boys were being touched all the time in athletic training after they did the baseball with us, and it's just so important. You know, not just in sports, but in everyday life. You know, to be able to do something like that, and you know, to see these kids come in. And you know what, from the first time that we started in January, even some in December, to see what each player has improved, that's what it's all about. We want our goal, this organization's goal, is to have every player get better this year, see improvement. And if that happens, I'll be extremely happy with what we did this year as an organization. You know what? It's not all about the wins and losses. It really isn't. It's about the individual. And if we can see these players get better, that's a big plus. All right. And it gives us a great foundation to grow on and to build upon for the future, you know, to continue down the road. So my philosophy has always been very old school. Everybody knows that. Very straightforward. And it's just you guys are teaching me more about the tech side, which I appreciate. But it's always been about going back to basics. This is how you throw a ball. This is how you swing. This is how you run. This is how you field. You know, the game hasn't changed that much from when Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Frank Robinson and all the greats played. So we're not reinventing the wheel, but what we are trying to do is just refine it to today's game. And I think we're doing a pretty damn good job with it.
Yeah, the technology that we have is to amplify the training, to basically reinforce, to monitor, measure. But the bottom line is fundamentals. They have to be in place. And if they're not, the habits they develop when they're 9, 10, 11, they're very hard to reverse when they're 14, 15.
You think about somebody doing something over the years, you know, and creating just a bad habit. It takes a lot. I'll never forget Denny Robinson from Lakeland used to say it takes 10,000 reps to undo a bad habit. And
yep,
Coach Robinson was one of the, Mike. I mean, you played for him. He's one of the best coaches. That was one of the best programs in all of Westchester, Dutchess, Putnam. You know, throughout the tri-state area, Lakeland, when Coach Robinson's were there, Coach Dennis and Coach Mike, was one of the best programs around. And he always said that 10,000 reps to undo a bad habit. And so that's why, you know, teaching these boys at a young age how to do things the right way is very, very important.
Yeah, I tell this story because it relates to how difficult it is at all ages, regardless of the talent of the player. About 7 years ago, I decided to give up playing flag football, in which I played down in Long Island. I won championships. It got to the point where it's, okay, let's go to the next stage, which is semi-pro football. And I put the gear on, I put the helmet on and the shoulder pads, the whole thing, and I go drop back to throw a pass. And at that point in my life, I was throwing the ball about 55, 58 yards. The ball fluttered about 20 yards. And I realized that my throwing mechanics wasn't acceptable to where, you know, a football player needs to be in gear. A whole different game when you put the gear on. You can't do what you think you can do. It restricts you. And let me tell you, John, it took me 3 months of 3 hours every day to get to the point where I did not have to think about my throw. I could do it in practice, but when you're under the gun, your instincts take over, whole different game. So 3 months, 3 hours a day, reps.
You know, that's what we're trying to do with the boys. That's what we ask them to do. It's more about quality reps than quantity of reps, because the quality is what hopefully becomes second nature to you. And to practice hard, but practice smart, do things the right way. Just sent something out tonight talking about practice to perfection. Do it the right way and learn the right way, and hopefully that carries over. That's the goal. That's the goal. Do that, and we talk about going into game situations. You know, there's so many different variables in a game now that when stress happens and, you know, like you were talking about, all of a sudden you revert back to your old ways. Well, hopefully after doing so many quality reps that instead of reverting back to the bad habits, it's the new good habits, all right, that the mind and the body revert back, that we'll go to, and you see improvement. And like we always talk about, hey, success is fun, and that's what we want to have. We want to have success. So that's, you know, that's the bottom line is we want every boy, every player in the organization to improve. And if that happens, like I said, John, that will make my year. It really will.
I agree. And I have to say, you know, I love to win. I hate to lose. I'm probably the biggest sore loser you'll ever meet. I love winning. You know, it's just the way it is. But, you know, success to me, like we mentioned, success is win. But also, does the kids get better? Do they play and fit where they're in the right spot? And are they happy? Are they having fun? You know, and, you know, this whole travel baseball stuff, I never had this as a kid. I never had a facility to train in. I was basically, my dad taught me everything he knew. You know, I mean, the advantages these kids have with programs like Jerry North and Silverbacks Baseball and a hospital for special surgery coming in and MLB alumni coming in. I mean, it's insane. And if you think about how we grew up and the amount of times that we were alone and having to develop our own skills, right? I mean, how important is it for especially kids going into, you know, junior, senior years of high school and off to college to learn how to train themselves? What do you think about that?
Oh, true. Very true. I mean, I see it in my own boys, you know, just to be able to, I mean, they're home now and they can't go to a gym. They can't go to a trainer. The two of them are working together. They've learned what they need to do, and they're out every day. with the weights, the stretching, you know, playing, having to catch, just having to catch, you know, doing the things that they, you know, they learned how to do as younger players, and then off at school, you know, they work together now. Thank God they have each other. That's all I can say. You know, that they're home doing it together. If they didn't have that, they'd be, you know, they would be working by themselves, but I knock on wood that they're healthy, and they're able to do this. It's very important. It's very important that the boys, not just for baseball though, John, just for life itself. You know, this game can teach a lot about life. And it's very important that they are able to learn, adapt. We were talking about being competitive. We want the boys to be competitive. We want our teams to be competitive. And that's success in itself. You know, to be able to be in that situation and understand how you deal in that situation, how you go. And this is one of the most stressful times in the history of the United States, if you think about it. Right now, what we're going through is extremely stressful for everyone involved, everybody in the country. There's just so much fear right now. And to be able to deal with that, to remain calm, and to continue to move forward. We don't want to move back. We want to continue to move forward. That's something that, believe it or not, baseball can teach you. It's a game of failure. You know, we always say it, 3 out of 10 times, three out of 10 times you get a hit, you're a Hall of Famer. All right. And then the pros, you get 3 out of 10 hits, three hits out of 10 at bats, you're making $8 to $15 million a year. All right. So to be able to move forward and to understand what this game can teach you in terms of failure and having to forget about that and then adapt, move on, make the adjustments, that's life. And right now we're facing that in a big way, all throughout the country, and not the country, but just the world too.
Yeah, John, and just to add on that, like I would say, like just resilience, right? Like that's exactly what Coach Volpe's talking about, is how can we teach our players to be resilient in this moment? And those that are resilient, those that are innovative and think about ways where they can continue to grow in the face of this adversity right now are going to be the ones that come out on top. And you guys will see, and you know, parents, players this week are going to see some videos that Coach Volpe and I sourced that really focus. And really it's minimal, it's basics, but it's stuff you can do alone or with a brother, a mom, a dad, or even a net that you can throw against, or a wall. Things like that we all grew up with, like Coach was saying, where, you know, that, and I remember myself even coming home from school and just focusing on how can I get better at hitting the inside pitch? You know, how close can I get to the fence in my backyard and keep my hands tight so I can drive that ball? So it's every little bit. And it's funny how things come back around in terms of when it comes to resilience and it comes to times like this. So we know that our kids are going to really learn a lot from this. In terms of becoming bigger people, just back to the mission, John. And you know, this is going to be a time of growth for those that want it. And we hope that all our kids really want it out there.
Thank you, Mike. We have another special guest who just joined us. And before I pass the baton over, John, you know, the coronavirus, it seems to be everywhere. It seems to be spreading. We don't know anything. We don't know where we can go, what we can do. It's pretty scary out there. You know, my sadness is thinking about regressing in terms of all the enhancements our players made in the offseason, all the work they put in, and the level of skill development that they achieved from the beginner player to the elite player. I would hate to see that regress. And what can these kids do before we release a program? What can they do?
What can they do? You know, John, we've done so much in January, February, first week of March, that if the players just look back and, again, back to basics, stay fresh, stay sharp in the basics. That's it. Don't worry about all the fancy stuff. All right. You know, that's not necessary right now. It really isn't. We just sent out an email to the whole organization. You know what? Just go out and have a catch. Have a good catch. Do the little things. You know, we talk about the everydays that we had with Coach Iacomini, that Coach Iacomini taught us. All right. We talk about all the little drills that Coach Scooby and Coach Vinny work with, the outfield drills that, you know, with Coach Rock and Coach Langer and all the coaches. All right. Take the little things, just the basic little things, and do those. We always talk about that 15 minutes a day. Make yourself a better player 15 minutes a day. Well, now you have more time than 15 minutes a day. So you know what? Get outside. Go do it. Have a good time doing it. Challenge yourselves, right? Internally challenge yourself. I love the quote from Billy Ripken, and y'all are going to see this tomorrow. He says, you don't need a friend. You can do it on your own. You can get better on your own. You don't need a friend out there. And unfortunately, in these times, the way things are right now, we're not getting together. All right. We're not getting together. We're not able to. And we just, hey, go out, do it on your own, internalize it, understand what you need to do. If you got questions, everybody's got our numbers. So give us a call. All right. Shoot us a text. And if you have questions, we're here to answer them.
Thank you, John. And parents, players, once again, if you're listening to this live stream, you can go to the link that's on our website, our new website, nysilverbacksbaseball.com, and click the talk show link. And there's a chat box. We're happy to field your questions. I hope you enjoy the new website as well. Visit it every day. There's going to be articles and updates posted as much as we can to keep you occupied. We have a special guest tonight, one of our latest partners to join Silverbacks Baseball, John Daugherty, MLB Detroit Tiger pitcher. John, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. Hello to everybody. First, I pray that all our Silverbacks family, everybody's healthy and safe during this ridiculous, crazy time. So I just wanted to get that out first. But thanks for having me on. Discussion's great. Everybody's saying great, great things. And I believe everything that everybody said so far, which is awesome.
Thank you, John. It's been great having you around. It's been a pleasure working with you, and you add a lot of value to the players. Here's what I'd like you to discuss tonight. It's really a frustration when kids come in every day, 4 or 5 days a week. They put in 100%. They're improving, and then life gets in the way. And it's the same thing as a worker who's doing their job, and they can't do it now. Right, they don't have the resources because it's been cut off, or everybody knows the story. It's a challenge on top of the challenge. You make progress, you get kickback. And having gone from level of Little League to the highest level of baseball possible, MLB, you must have faced constant hurdles you've never seen coming. And this coronavirus is one of them for humanity. Let's relate that to baseball and what we face. Give us your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult time. This is unprecedented, and you know, it reminds me of times, you know, when I've had injuries. Unfortunately, I've had my share of them, and I think, you know, all of us on that have said something tonight have had them, and my moms and dads listening, you know, themselves in their sports careers, and obviously their children. You know, when you can't do what you love to do, it's very, very frustrating. And you know I miss watching the game because baseball should be on right now. So I'm, you know, freaking out not being able to watch it, but I'm also freaking out not being able to teach it right now and coach it. I had, you know, I'm turning down lessons. People are actually still calling me for lessons, believe it or not. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, but this is not really a good time to be giving private lessons. I said, you know, you want to do some videos, you want to send them to me, I'd be more than happy to give you some feedback. If if you are going to go out with your son and do something with him, send me some videos. So it's a really challenging time. Like John was saying too, there are certain things, you know, a lot of the kids, they've been coached by John and the rest of the staff, and they, you know, they should know, and especially the parents, that are there too, they should know what they're doing wrong, and they could work on things, you know, on their own. I tell all my guys, you know, the balance drill for the couple of times that I've been there, you know, the pitcher's standing on one leg for 3 to 5 minutes a night. If you're breaking your hands, you know, if you're not breaking, and I'm always talking as a pitcher, of course, if you're not breaking your hands back, like, towards the center fielder, you know, you can stand with your back against a wall, so you're getting in the habit of going straight back. If you're splitting your hands and breaking your hands away from your body instead of breaking them straight down, now you can get up against the wall, facing the wall, so it forces you to break your hands down. So there's a lot of different things you could do. Obviously, you know, I don't want to get too crazy talking about hitting, but John will laugh. Like I said, if you're a guy that steps in the bucket a little bit, you know, again, you could practice that little footwork. Just, you know, again, you have tons and tons of time now to be doing it. So we always say 15 minutes because we understand kids are busy. There's homework, and it sometimes gets a little boring by yourself. But, hey, now you got a lot of time, and you can spread it out throughout the day, and there's a lot of things you could do. You could stretch. You could get on the floor, play your PlayStation, play your Nintendo, whatever you're doing. But you could stretch kind of while you're doing that. So there's definitely things you could do all by yourself. Long toss is another thing. I used to long toss by myself. I had a bucket of balls. I throw the balls as far as they go. I jog down. I put it back in. And I throw them back. And, you know, I'm getting my long toss in all by myself. I don't need anybody to catch the ball when I'm long tossing. So there's quite a bit of things you can do by yourself to get better if you want to get better. So there's really no excuses, even though it's a lot more fun to do it with friends and teammates.
Thank you, John. That's excellent. I find that I end up throwing a ball up against the wall nonstop or flipping it up in the air to get the rotation. It becomes obsessive after a while. I'm not sure if that, you know, makes me a great baseball player or not, but I could tell you I could spin a ball. I can flip it up. I can catch it with my fingertips. It's got to help somewhere, right?
100%. That's, again, we could go on and on. I mean, one of my friends, and he came to the last coaches clinic, Giancarlo De Prima, who you saw, he's about, you know, 5'7", played at Division I baseball, played professional baseball, played in Italy. All he did was throw a racquetball off a wall over and over and over again, and not obviously for his arm, but for his footwork, because your footwork's so important, to make sure he got his footwork down. And then the transfer from the glove to the hand. And like you said, the other things, you can just flip the ball up in the air, catch it, and try and get the ball out of your glove real quickly, because you're going to have to do that as an infielder, as an outfielder, trying to get that long seam, needing a four-seam grip as opposed to just grabbing it like a grenade and throwing it across the diamond or throwing it back in from the outfield. So there's so many different things, like you said, that you could constantly work on your own to become a better player. And it's the guys that do that stuff that become the better player. You know, I lived on a dead-end street. And, you know, I forget who said it before, how much time we spent alone when we were younger. It's a different world now. And, you know, it was a chain link fence, and I used to put a pillow there. So I wouldn't, one, ruin my ball, because I probably only had, you know, 2-3 balls, you know, when I was younger. I didn't have a bucket like nowadays, some of these kids. And used to go through my motion and throw the ball into a pillow. And I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't 60 feet away, wasn't 45 feet away. I was just at a short distance, just the idea of going through my motion, my release, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and like the running that I used to do, I can't tell you, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm obviously, our kids are younger, but, you know, when I was getting older, getting a little more serious, the jogging that I used to do, go run 2 miles, go run 3 miles, go run 4 miles, did all that stuff on my own. Nobody knew what I was doing. I was doing it because I wanted to get better. So that's the thing that I love about you guys, is that I think you're trying to teach these kids, hey, if you want to get better, you know, these are the things you got to do, the sacrifices you have to make. As I got a little bit older, high school age, you know, they had the skiing trips. I never did any of those trips. I was like, going to break my leg if I went skiing. So I was like, I'm not going to go skiing. As I got even older, and then you got the spring break trips. I'm like, I'm not going on any spring break trips because I'm going to be playing baseball. And so, you know, there's this sacrifice that you have to, if you want to get better, you got to sacrifice some other things that you may want to really do. But, you know, I know if I had a doubleheader on a Saturday, I wasn't doing anything on a Friday night, but getting a good night's sleep and having a good dinner and a good breakfast.
Very true words, John. Very true.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's there's always something that you can do. You know, we spent some time laying out some performance agility courses for the kids, and instantly you can see the kids who appear to perform better on the field have the best footwork. And I don't think that's by mistake.
Not at all. Again, footwork is everything. You talk to any good infielder, and even outfielders too, your footwork is so important. You know, you have a really strong arm, but if you don't have good footwork and you're using just your arm all the time to throw a ball across the diamond, you know, you're going to wind up blowing out your arm. And or, again, a lot of times you're just not going to get to throw it, no matter how strong your arm is. It's, you know, you want to use your entire body, and having good footwork is what's going to, you know, get that ball across the diamond accurately and you know, on time and with, you know, with something on it, because you got to use your entire body when you throw a baseball. You don't want to just use your arm, whether you're a pitcher, infielder, or outfielder. You want to use your entire body. So it's definitely very, very important, the footwork.
And you got to be able to get to the ball too,
guys. You know, back in our day, my day, especially, I'm a little bit older than a couple of guys there, you know, they didn't have any of that stuff. So, you know, I always, you know, use the term old school. You know, now you're crazy not to buy into this stuff or to not think about it. And that's what I think is really cool what you guys are doing. And I think that's what's, you know, enticing the kids too. And I think they're going to also see, because, you know, some of the kids, I'm sure, are playing multiple sports. I know I was a basketball player when I was younger. They're going to see how all the training that you're doing for them, with them, is also going to make them better in their other sports, whether it be soccer player, lacrosse player, a basketball player, football player. And so I think that's a really, really neat thing that you guys are doing. And I'm so excited as I'm just starting to learn it. I think it's really, really cool stuff, and it's really, really works.
Yeah, so I'd like to ask Doug a question in a minute. I want to just tag on top of what John Volpe just said in terms of they have to be able to get to the ball. And what I just didn't hear
John say lacrosse, though, did I?
No, I didn't say lacrosse. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's same season. Oh,
okay. Just checking.
No L words here. No L words.
Sorry, John.
That's funny.
Yeah,
good job.
Hey, this is okay. I love it. Doug, I have a question for Doug in terms of training at game speed. And this is where John Volpe's statement that the kids have to be able to get to the ball. And we're putting kids into courses that we're timing them, taking an action from A to B. And if the action improves from A to B, that should translate on the field of being able to gain more ground and more range. Doug, training at game speed is the big theme that we hear about. And a lot of times it's very difficult without gamification. Can you give us a couple of minutes on gamification and why we do what we do?
Absolutely. This has been exciting to listen and talk. I think the mechanics and speed, I liked what we were saying before about the quality of the reps, I think is a key component to this. And when we're timing and setting a baseline or number for us to look upon, it's a way for one, the kids or yourself, to look at what you are in this scenario. It gives you a spatial recognition, and part of the number or the piece, though it might not be tracked for a longer bit than that moment or that time of the game, what we see is that you can push harder into that game speed or that competition by doing those types of things. And you'll start to see we've had some great success with the with some of the timing lights, where we would give the kids a base number. And we started at one point with some of the drills in those bull rings, being to do some of them in like under, you know, 6 seconds or six tenths of a second on some of the reaction time. So we're looking at the average of how they're reacting to some of the lights. And once they got that understanding of where they were, they wanted to improve. So they looked at themselves and said, okay, where was I at fault, or where was I lacking, and how could I improve? And some of those were simple things, or some of them required more agility drills and, you know, as coach would say, the fundamentals. And we would bring them back to whatever mechanical fundamentals to work on that, so that, one, we didn't hurt anybody, but also then provided the opportunity to improve that speed. One of my, I think, was the best is watching some of the agility drills and some of the younger guys that just couldn't figure out their footwork to what they wanted to do, but they saw it. They couldn't figure out how to get their body to move that way. And just over repetition and time, and someone cheering them on, they got it. And next thing you know, they were practicing and excited to move their feet faster. And they figured out, oh, okay, I can do this now. Some of the stuff we did, again, just on the gamification side, was to engage them one upon themselves, but also to see how they all kind of stack up against each other. So I think the gamification side provides that game time speed off the actual field in small little bursts that we can kind of control and keep safe while giving that excitement to move forward.
Yeah, Doug, you mentioned something, nothing more special nothing more special than seeing the light go on, you know, in the kid's eyes.
He was so excited to go through the ladder and to get his feet right. And it was more of his success and me just going, I know you can do it. Just watching him to feel him walk through it. That was what, and so to work on the fundamentals and with you, John, it's been exciting with you and Mike and John as well, all of us coming together to try and figure out how that fundamentals can be tracked. We can look at it, but then what do we do with it then? And I think that's what's exciting. We were just at the part of where we were starting to see what we could really do together. Now we have to figure out how to twist it a little bit while we're all remote, which I think we could do. And that's what I was excited to talk about this morning. We'll have more to talk about later. But to get back to those fundamentals, like that, going out and having a catch is as much as important to be outside and catch some fresh air in this time as anything.
John, what you said earlier, you know, that is so true. And I think that's why we all love coaching. Like I said, when you see that light go off and you help a kid and you do something and, you know, now he gets it. I mean, that's the best part about it. And that's what I admire about all you guys that are there. That's what you're looking for, is to have that light bulb go off. Again, we all want to win, especially the sore loser, John Robinson. but we all want to win, but we can't win every single time. But again, if we're giving our kids the best opportunity, the best chance, and they're putting forth their best effort, baseball is one of those games. I mean, everybody could get a great night's sleep, everybody go 3-for-4, and we could still lose the game. That's just the way it is. I mean, I pitched a one hitter one time, and the kid pitched a no hitter against me, and I won 1-0. So
there you go.
Go figure. So it's just a crazy game. So, but again, I just like the opportunity, like I said, and what you guys are practicing, what you preach, and trying to teach these kids life lessons through the game of baseball, and most importantly, you know, that they're having a fun time, and that's why I wanted to get on board, because that was the message that you guys were relaying to me, and I totally agree with that. And that's the way I was raised by my high school coach, Johnson Siri. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to getting even more involved. As you know, I came aboard a little late. Love to be a parent night next year, and love to be at some of the tryouts next year and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm just looking forward. This is a lot of fun.
So I was in Throgs Neck Little League, and I threw a one hitter, and I got in the car, and we won 8-1. And I had, you know, they had the big trucks show up there with the ice cream and all the stuff, and I used to get the fun dip, right? I know everyone loves the fun dip. You get to lick the thing they put in it. It's all sugar. So I'm sitting in the back of the car, and I have my fun dip, and I'm pumped. I just threw a one-hitter. This is great. And my mom's in the seat. She looks back, and I look up at her, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I did great. And she says to me, you had to throw the ball down the middle on a 2-0 count. But the kid hit it over the fence. So my one-hitter was a home run.
How are we doing with the sore loser part comes from?
But it's about perfecting the game. It's about that part of it. And recently, I have a question for John JV, we'll call him, and then John Daugherty or JD tonight. So I broke the whole social distancing thing. I went to a field yesterday, and I encourage all parents to take their kids outside and hit and do something. There's actually a pop-up net at Dick's Sports that I just learned today that Lance Marino, Ryan Marino's on our 12U team, he ended up figuring out how to put this damn thing together. You know, we got one in. We were going to bring it to the JV Mall to set it up for that event we went to. And I was in there with Eddie Bartoli, Doug Fidel, and we couldn't figure out how to get this thing to stay, that we gave up on it. Lance told me today that he figured it out. So if any parents out there want a nice outdoor net, it's $200 at Dick's Sports. You want to learn how to put it together, let me know. So I go to the field with John. I'm throwing balls to him. His swing is completely different. And for years, I've been yelling at him because I'm still a dad. And while I treat all the kids professional and we do our work, we get them better, when it comes to my kid, the emotions come up. I feel it in my neck. So for years, I've been telling him about his swing. It took John Volpe about 10 minutes with him. Completely different. Whole different swing. And he's ripping balls down the line. I'm completely happy. So my question is this.
I'm glad you're happy, John.
How do you, in the mess
classes that we run, how do you give the personal attention to each kid that I've witnessed? How do you make that happen?
You know what? I tell you what. I learned it from watching Coach Dan Gray. Years ago, I used to bring my team down there, and I would watch Coach Gray, and every boy got touched by Coach Gray, and that's something that I try and pride myself on, that every boy that comes through, when I'm there and I'm doing something, every boy gets touched and instruction. I just think it's so important. And just, it could be one thing. And like we were talking about, just to see that light go on, or you ask it, how did that feel? And they say, boy, that was easier. And when you hear that and those words, then you know that you've done something good. And now it's just a matter of them continuing and continuing on.
Thank you. John Daugherty, JD, I heard you say something in the coaches clinic. I guess it was about a month ago now. The thing that prevented you from throwing upper 90s was the same thing that gave you the movement to make it to the major leagues. Regarding video analysis and all the technology we have available today to look at mechanics, how much of that was around in your time in the minor leagues and the major leagues? What advantages do we have today?
There was none. I want to remember what year it was, maybe 94 or 5 or something like that. They had this thing where, you know, they put the balls on you. Like, you see, even there used to be some commercials that joking around. I forget, maybe it was Dwayne Wade or somebody. But they suit you up and they put the little balls on you and all that kind of stuff. And then it, like, comes up as a stick figure on the on the screen or whatever. And they didn't allow me to do it because my motion, I used to follow through so much, I used to bang my elbow off my knee. I had to wear a big volleyball knee pad on my knee because I followed through and hit my elbow off my knee. So they said, we're not going to let you do it because the balls will keep flying off all over the place. So who knows what they could have found out about my motion, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. But, yeah, there was really none of that stuff when I was playing, especially, you know, at a younger age. I'm talking in major leagues now with the story I just mentioned, but there was none of that kind of stuff. And, you know, again, I understand, you know, everybody's looking for speed these days. You know, I've heard from different scouts I've talked to that kind of, not that they're coming off it, that they don't want speed because they love speed, but because they, you know, they feel like a fix. They just want to get people who get people out again, because if you're noticing all these guys that are throwing the 95, 98, whatever, everybody's blowing out. And even you get these other, you know, the big time players like Giancarlo Stanton and Judge, you know, who, maybe there's something too much of this working out or the weights and all that kind of stuff. But the science of it is what I'm liking, and all the things you guys are talking about, you're not doing anything damaging. You're not making them. You know, I had guys years ago. He hurt his arm. He was doing clean and jerks at his high school. Like, you're a pitcher. What are you doing clean and jerks for? It's driving me crazy. Some of these strength coaches. I just don't get it. But the science of it and what you guys are trying to do and train them properly, I mean, I think it's awesome. And I think it's going to prevent injuries is what it's going to do, which is so important.
John, you know, it's funny you mentioned video. And you and I are close in age. I remember going back, I think it was 8mm is what it was called.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Black and white for sure, right?
I have a question from
you. Didn't say beta, John, so that's good.
No, that's before beta, Mike.
Yeah, beta VHS.
Here's our first question.
Yeah, but for John, wait, I got a question though. But John, didn't you watch maybe a replay of your games pitched from
Never
like
did.
A video recording play?
Doug, I have to tell you, my mom took all the movie film. All right. And
yeah.
We used to have it on the old projector, and you hear click, 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 click. And then we could rewind it, though. You had to use your finger to rewind it and go back,
yeah,
and
sure.
Then you could go forward. So, yeah, we used to watch it.
That's another thing. Like I said, I don't know if it was just Detroit was a little behind the times or whatever. It was just starting to, you know, that coming out, and they were taping some games and stuff like that. I really – it wasn't like I ever went back and – you know, that's what my pitching coach was for. You know what I mean? And that's what you kind of relied on. You rely on your pitching coach. You relied on your catchers to tell you, hey, you're leaking a little bit out front, you're dropping your arm down, you know, whatever it is, you're opening up too much. And that's what you kind of relied on. And you know, so nowadays it's and just ask the Astros about video, but you know what I'm saying? It's videotape now, which is very, very helpful for every guy.
Guys, you know, sometimes
it's
a little paralysis. Yeah, a little paralysis by analysis,
out,
though.
They hit a home run, they're going to watch their bat. So, you know, video is very prevalent nowadays, very important.
Yeah.
But, John, I think you said a paralysis by analysis is definitely a key component there, too, is the overuse.
Oh, yeah.
So coming back to the basics is and how it's used and used appropriately creates engagement and accountability. If we do it right, it's going to be an exciting point for us. So I'm
well, you know, you hear these kids, you hear the kids even in the program talk about it. You know, like they'll take a swing, and there are a few voices that come to mind, and they're like, oh, just – little bit, my front hip, my front shoulder, and you know, and you look at it, and you go, dude, you just crushed that ball, you know.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel right, you know.
And I think a lot of kids, you know, to see it, sometimes it's easier, you know. A lot of kids, this is the way I was taught, you know, when I was going to start becoming a coach myself, I was a little nervous, you know, once my career was over to start coaching it. And again, my coach taught me, like, some kids you could just tell them something. You could show them something. Other kids, you have to, like, literally physically, like, okay, put your arm up here or whatever the case is. And other kids, like you said, they see themselves doing it. Like, you know, you talk about mirror work. Working in a mirror sometimes is so helpful because you can see yourself making that mistake, and which is the same to me as, like, video. So a lot of times when I'm doing my private lessons now, and again, it took me years to buy into this. I'll take a little video of a kid just real quick, and I go, hit, see what I'm talking about? And then now they kind of understand a little bit more, as maybe because I'm not explaining it properly, or maybe just they're just more of a they have to watch to learn, you know? So
well, boys are always more visual, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's what they say.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Well, JD, here's our first question. I'm not sure if it's a statement, but we pride ourselves of freedom of speech, and I just hope this is not for my kid. The statement is, well, what was the problem? You were not good enough to play for the Yankees? Oh, man. I don't know.
You know,
we're going to have to choke this better.
It's so funny because, you know, whether he was just being nice or not, Brian Cashman, when I got put on waivers by the Tigers in 96 in his spring training, supposedly the Yankees were very interested, but the Red Sox grabbed me up really quickly. And the reason they grabbed me up really quickly is because when Sparky Anderson retired, basically everybody lost their job, all the coaches and stuff. So the guy that I had in the big leagues my last year as a coach was my coach all the years in the minor leagues. And so he got a job with the Red Sox. And so the Red Sox heard I was going on waivers. They told him, say, hey, what do you think? And he said, grab him because, one, he liked me. he's looking out for me. But, you know, also I could relieve. I started, you know, I kind of pitched, you know, 1 through 9 in my career with so it would have been unbelievable to say that I put on the pinstripes, to have gotten, have Mel Stottlemyre to be my pitching coach. You know, who knows what could have happened. But it is what it is. I didn't expect to play one day minor league baseball, to play major league baseball, and have a nice little career and get a little head start in life. It's something I would never, ever, you know, it's the best thing in the world. And I don't care if it was, you know, three days or 3 years or 5 years, whatever. I got to play in the major league baseball. Less than 20,000 people in the world have ever done so. And I'm truly blessed to be able to say that I was a professional baseball player at one point in my life.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. We're blessed to have you on our team. I'd like to throw the mic over to another special person at Silverbacks baseball who has proven to be, to me, I know to John Volpe and to others, one of the best coaches we have on our staff, technically from management perspective, looking out for all the kids. And I'm happy and proud that he's one of our head coaches, Bill Dwyer. Bill, I know you're on the line.
Well,
my question is,
thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
We thank you for being part of this and thank you for joining us tonight. My question is, I know you coach at a high school and, you know, you deal with different teams on different levels, and you get to see a lot of different talent, especially being down in White Plains area. Looking at our program and having been, I mean, I've known you for, man, 5-6 years from times in Somers and through Silverbacks. What,
I was going to say a little bit longer than that.
It might be. What's your perspective on what's happening at Silverbacks?
Well, like you said, 20 years in high school, I've seen a lot of good programs and I've seen a lot of teams that had a difficult time playing. And the one thing that I want to say is you get a high school is every day, and it's great. But you get one coach. Maybe you have an assistant coach, and you have 20-some-odd kids here with what we're doing, having sometimes there are almost as many coaches as there are kids in a class. The amount of touches and the amount of eyes on a kid where they get to go through, and at times there were kids getting almost one-to-one pitching instruction for an hour during the winter, and that's unheard of. And it's all built around the same program. It's whatever comes out of my mouth, the same thing that's coming out of your mouth is coming out of Nick's mouth, and it's all, like John was saying earlier, it's built on the basics, and it's the same thing throughout the entire program. So that, to me, is an amazing transition, considering how quickly everything was thrown together, how quickly we've all gotten to know each other, and how fast this whole thing is gone. I think we've developed a program that is looking to go forward and has been making some great strides, and it's been great in that sense. I would compare to the highest baseball programs, high school programs in the area, if not a little bit higher, because nobody does what we did in Danbury on Sundays. That to me was the cream of the crop on that one. What do we have? A dozen coaches and every kid up there? It was insane.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. I have another question from another player. This is, again, targeted to John Daugherty. What was it like playing in MLB?
What was it like playing in MLB? It was like a dream come true. It was as simple as that. I've been, you know, during this time where we're all social distancing. It seems like I'm social distancing in my house too. We all have a separate room here. It's crazy. And I'm taking this time to literally go through all my old clippings and videos and audio stuff just to kind of like, you know, not to just trash it, but I don't need like 20 copies of myself anymore because it's like, you know, my ego's gone and I don't need that stuff anymore. So I'm just trying to condense stuff and go through stuff. And I came across I was listening to today, as a matter of fact, at work, Mitch Albom. You know, I'm sure the famous, everybody knows Mitch Albom from Tuesdays with Maury was his original one. But, you know, I know more as a sports reporter. And I was on his show and I was just saying, it's just like when you hear it in Bull Durham and all that stuff, you never touch your bag. You don't clean your shoes. You know, taking long bus rides.
I was just thinking that, John.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's night and day from anything else you've ever done. I mean, we drive up a bus to the back of the plane on the tarmac, and you get out and you walk about 20 feet, and you're on the plane. And
yeah.
You know, so you're spoiled. You're spoiled rotten, is what you are. And it's the best thing in the world because, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, I also came across a lot of nice newspaper clippings and letters that I've kept over the years just doing some really nice things. I mean, I remember Sparky Anderson, for whatever reason, always picked on me. He's like, oh, by the way, next Tuesday you're going to go feed the homeless at such and such shelter. And then he'd call me in and like a month later, oh, by the way, tomorrow you're going to go feed the kids at school lunch program. But, you know, all these different things, speaking in the DARE program. And, you know, our PR person, Celia Brobrowski, who I run into from time to time, she said, you know, she called me her go-to person because, you know, guys that played every day, like at Cecil Field, that they play every day, you can't keep asking them to do stuff all the time. They got to prepare for a game every single day. When I was in the rotation, you know, I had 4 days off. So before a game, hey, John, can you go over and shake this kid's hand? Hey, John, can you come outside and talk to this family for a little while? So to do a lot of those nice things for people and to touch somebody's life, and it sounds crazy and it's almost embarrassing, but, you know, I know I did some really, really nice things for some really young kids, sick kids sometimes, and it was just, you know, so that's the thing that I'm most proud of. I wish I could have had a much longer career to have done even bigger and better things. I think I've done, you know, again, I started a foundation in honor of my coach a couple of years ago. I'm always trying to, we just actually donated in town here, one of the teachers is making shields to donate to hospitals. And they were looking to make like 1,000. They've raised so much money. They're looking to maybe make 10,000, 15,000 of them now. That's how crazy it's got. We were able to donate to that. So that's the stuff that enabled me, because I played in the major leagues, I think, to do some of those nice things. And so playing there, competing against the best of the best is awesome. But again, to be able to do nice things because of, you know, who I was at that time, whatever, that's what meant more to me than anything, to be honest.
John, that's great. Thank you. I have another question, and I just want to caution you to answer this one appropriately in the context of what we're trying to do here. So here's the question. How much running did you have to do at practices in the MLB?
If you want to be a good athlete.
Wait a second, John. Be very careful.
No, I don't think John's going to have to worry about how he's,
go buy a good pair of shoes.
Respond real.
Get a good
right
pair
now.
Of running but. Shoes. If you're a pitcher, you go get a good pair of running shoes because they're going to make you run at every level you get to. And a lot of the reason, to be very honest with you, the guys used to complain, like, I don't run the darn ball up to the plate. I throw it up to the plate. A lot of times is because pitchers are a pain in the neck and they just want you to get out of the way because they don't want you shagging balls and getting hurt. They just go lean against the fence. If the ball gets back that far, throw it back in. So when guys start diving and start sliding and doing all that stuff, they're like, go run 3 miles and come back. And so I think that's a lot of reason. But to be honest, I mean, you really want to have good endurance. Running is really good for you. It builds up your leg strength. You obviously have to use your legs when you pitch. You know, I think as you know, we tell our kids now, you know, when you pitch, you want to pitch 6 innings. You want to pitch 7. You want to pitch the 9, depending on what level you're at. You want to pitch the whole game. I know going to Concordia College, you know, was a great program, but it's not like it is today where we had 35, 40 guys on a team and you had a starting rotation, a setup man, the closer, and middle relief, all that stuff. If I didn't finish my game, I had the first baseman or the left fielder coming in for me. And my chances of them keeping my lead were not that good. So I wanted to make sure that I was pitching my full 7 or my full 9, whatever kind of game we had going on. So running is very, very important if you want to be, especially pitching, but, you know, in general, too. It just builds up endurance, builds up strength. And you run a lot when you play baseball, guys, right? You want to beat out that infield hit. You want to, you want to get to second base on that gapper. You want to score from second, on a base hit to the outfield. So you got to have some good speed, and, running is going to help that.
Thank you, John.
I'm hoping for all the workouts that the kids did this winter, that they figure that out. You know, that how important being athletic is.
Yeah.
100%.
It's in all the sports. I mean, look at a boxer when they're training, and there's a formula for it. Every round you want to go, you have to train whatever amount of hours. Another question coming in. And I'd like to propose this question. I'm going to state the question as is, but I'm going to propose it a little differently. While every infielder and outfielder were doing grounders and stuff, okay, we'll call it stuff, was he running with the other pitchers? Okay, so, JP, question, and I'm going to answer this myself as well, having played D1. I'm going to give a little bit of my experience. But we'll answer that question. What were you doing when the other players were practicing? And then, JV, I'd like to understand what you did from a third baseman's perspective, a position player's perspective, to keep your leg strong. Okay, so, John Daugherty, when other players, I mean, were you taking BP? I mean, were you showing off your long-distance swing? Or what were you doing when they were taking their ground balls?
I was the guy standing behind second base, having the balls getting thrown into me and running them back to the bullpen, to the batting practice pitcher. That's what I did. Stay out of trouble, get out of the way, and be helpful. That's what I tried to do. At a younger age, like I said, high school, again, when I had my catch every day, I became a pitcher only, believe it or not, way back when, before they even had pitchers only. My high school coach, it sounds crazy, but he literally saw something special in me, and I have it in a newspaper article. Saying that, and so he didn't let me hit in the 11th and 12th grade. So when I had my catch for the day, I made sure I, got my work in. Guys used to hate having to catch me because I'd almost go through my full motion because it's really all I had to do special that day for 15, 20 minutes. But again, I did a lot of running, did a lot of stretching. My flexibility was off the charts, and to me, it was my biggest asset as an athlete was my flexibility. So that's kind of, what I was doing. And I was also very helpful. I hit a lot of ground balls to my teammates. I did that a lot in the minor leagues. I really enjoyed doing that. And I was actually pretty good at it. So guys would always, request me. So I stayed busy and I stayed helpful. Even when I wasn't pitching in high school and or college, I coached first base. I'm a very hyper guy. I can't sit still. And so I always wanted to feel like I was part of the game. So I made sure I stayed busy and I always helped my teammates for sure.
Pitchers put their batting gloves on and they hit fungos.
Yep.
I remember that at school. That was something that coach always,
always told the pitchers to do. Get your batting gloves on so you didn't get blisters, and go hit fungos to the infielders.
John Volpe, how did you keep your body strong during the season?
Well, I played two ways. I played a position. I got the hit full time, and then I closed, which was special. So I would have to do my running with the pitchers, but then I'd also do the other work with the position players. Naturally, I didn't do as much lifting because I did throw, and so I wouldn't do the lifting that the other guys would do. But that's how we did it. When I was again playing two ways, so it was just a matter of keeping the arm in shape, keep the legs in shape. A lot of running. We used to have to. We'd run. Unfortunately, our conditioning coach was the assistant track coach. So we became distance runners in the off season, and that's changed a lot now. They talk about just the explosive running, the sprints. I do believe you do still need some of that. That endurance, that sprinting, or that distance. I think that's important. But then, like I said, I did light lifting as compared to what the other guys on the team were doing. So in season, I know boys now. I should have my son come down and talk about it because he's they both of them in season. They work out 3 days a week. 3 days a week with the weights. And that's just something that is now, this is what they do in school. They'll lift heavy weights, light reps, heavy weights, just to maintain the strength throughout the year. So it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot from when I played to, what's going on now.
Yeah. I went to Pace University when they were still Division I, and my coach Calicone was tremendous. He won over 300 games in college. And when you walked into Pace University at the time, and you see the NCAA sign on the wall, and you're playing Seton Hall, St. John's, Boston College, and you're beating them, you understand that it's a legitimate program. And my strength and conditioning guy as a pitcher was a Minnesota farmhand, and the one thing we did a lot of was step ups on boxes, and we did it over and over to develop just constant strength in the quads and the hips, and then we'd run poles nonstop. It was poles and poles and poles.
We used to call them air trips. We used to call them bear trips.
Man, yep. I called it hell.
Pole to pole, bear trips, because about after the fourth or fifth one, the bear would jump on your back.
It's the last thing you want to do after you pitch 6-7 innings. I can tell you that much. But you did it.
Tell me about it.
You want to clear out your body. And you thought they had the right formula. And you come to find out later that they tried. None of them really knew the answers. And we found out from hospital, from special surgery, that they're all still trying and learning and discovering.
Nobody knows the answers. No, nobody knows the answers still. And that's always going to be the question. What is the best way? You go back years. I mean, we're talking baseball. So you go back years, you look at Seaver and you look at Jenkins and you look at guys like that threw hard. Nolan Ryan. Where were the injuries? Where were the arm problems?
They threw 300 innings.
They didn't have, did they? And these guys threw 300 innings.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah.
275 innings, 300 innings, 35 to 40 starts in a season. Four-man rotations, not five-man rotations.
15 minutes remaining.
Yeah.
A lot different today.
It sure is. You got pitch counts. You have all these rules and regulations. It might be prohibiting the players versus enhancing them. Question. This goes out to Eddie Bartoli, who's joined us on the line. Eddie's one of our latest partners. I have a question for you, Eddie. From a parent perspective, you have two kids in the program. Now, when I've gone through college D1 levels, and to be honest with you, the level of detail and training and our strength and conditioning in sports science, I never went through any of this type of program. And the advantages our kids have in our system,
how do you, from your perspective, do you understand it?
Hey guys, number one, I want to say great show. You guys are all been informative, and this is all good stuff. I could sit here all night doing this, by the way. So, my perspective, I mean, this is something that I've never was introduced to. Is, you know, I play high school ball. That's about all. But no, this is a great thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is, when the kids are at the facility or they're training at the BAT complex, you know, they don't want to leave. And I, you know, to me, hitting was always the thing I always wanted to do. When I see, you know, my sons Eddie and Anthony, and they're doing some of the agility courses, and they actually want to, they're giving me a hard time about going home, and it's 9:15 at night. You know, it just shows you that these work. I've seen huge improvements in both my boys. My little guy Anthony, he was good up until the point he came here, and you just see a major difference because I have a lot of video on him. So yeah, the perspective is this stuff works. I believe in it. And I think we have a great bunch of guys, and Daugherty and Volpe and Van Riper, John, of course, Doug. That's accolades to everybody. You guys have done a tremendous job and absolutely believe in the system. So, yes.
Thank you, Eddie. And I have another head coach on the phone, our facilities manager, Nick Langer. Nick, are you with us tonight? We'll give him a second. He's a volunteer EMT in Armagh, so his days are crazy, his nights are crazy, and he probably called the wrong number. We'll give him a few minutes to join us. But, Eddie, thank you very much for that. And, you know, I've known your kids for a long time, and the one thing I can say is that, you know, we have a roadmap for each of the kids. The roadmap could be different for each kid based on their current level of development, the current level of athleticism. Some kids need footwork. Some kids need strength. Some kids need mechanics of throwing. It could be the hardest one to fix, mechanics of hitting. When you're talking about mechanics, and this is out for John Volpe, when you're talking about mechanics and changing mechanics, how much time do the kids need to spend at home, not with you? See, that's the big issue I see, is that kids come to practice, they think the practice itself is enough to get them better. What's your thoughts on that?
John, we talk about that all the time, you know, with the kids. Tell them, hey, you're with us three times a week, and it works out to be about 3 hours, 3.5, maybe 4 hours a week. So if you take a whole week and you see the number of hours in a week and you're only with us for 3.5, 4 hours, there's a lot of time where you can take home just the smallest tip, right? And work on it at home and become that much better. And that's what we were talking about before, about that 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a night. And now, like John was saying, you got the ability to do a lot more now, you know, 15 minutes in the morning, the afternoon, mid-afternoon, at night. You can spend an hour doing just small things that you've been asked to do. And if you take that home and do that, you're going to make yourself a better ball player, right? And that's, again, you know, what do they talk about? Character. Character is when you're not being watched, or character is built when you're not being watched. And that's what we'd love to have these boys do is, you know, when you're not being watched, that's when you really get better, right? When you're taking those small things, the small tips, the instruction, and you take it home and you're doing it by yourself, and understanding what you're – so most important is that they have to understand it first. And if they understand it, when they understand it and they can take it home and they can do it at home by themselves with nobody watching, that's when you see them, that's when you see real improvement. It really – and then they come back and you go – and you can look at a boy and go – and you point at him and go, hey, you've been doing this at home, haven't you? And they put that smile on their face and they say yes, and that is the beauty of what we do when that happens. That makes you, I know that makes me feel probably the best, all right? When you see something like that and you see a kid come back and you see a change and you can, and you call him out on it and he says, yes, I've been doing it at home. And you're like, yeah, this kid gets it. And that's what we want every player to do. We want every player to understand that. And so it's very important.
We were at Danbury and I had a chance to walk around, and with you being here, it allows me to actually see a lot of other things, which is I feel blessed about that.
And I went on to the 11U field, and there was some plays being made, some ground balls. They were doing situations. And one kid came up to me and said, "Hey, coach, you know, if he got the ball, did this, A, B, C, all the way to Z and plus." And I looked at this kid. I'm like, that's a ball player. Like, he gets the game. He understands the game. And I think there's a lack of understanding the gamesmanship of baseball because of all the distractions the kids have in their lives. I don't know what it will take to reverse that. You know, so my question.
How many times do we ask the talent, "Hey, who's watching baseball at home?" And it's like, not really. Go watch a game. You have all these games on now. I mean, there's nothing live, but you can go back. You can put on MLB, and they've got games. You get ESPN, they've got games. You can find the College Network. They've got games. All right, go watch baseball games. And you know what? I hope my wife isn't listening, but I always, like, if I'm watching a game with the boys and Kathy comes in and she starts talking and we're like, shh, we want to listen to the announcers. You know, some of these guys are played pro ball and they're talking about just the little things. You can learn so much by, again, we talk about watching and listening, the two ways to learn. That's really important. And
amen,
by watching,
John,
and listening.
Amen,
what's that?
John. I just unmuted my phone because I was gonna just jump in and say that exact thing, where I love, like, all, like, you listen to these guys and I go, man, I hope Jimmy, Joey, Petey, Bobby are listening to this because I just talked about this last week with them.
Right.
It drives me crazy. And so, again, you're so right. And, like, I love, especially playoff time, John Smoltz. And I was fortunate enough, I met him at a dinner a couple of years ago, and I said, dude, I don't want to, like, you know, whatever, but you are just, everything that you say, I agree with. I mean, the guy is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He has so much to learn. If the kids listen, it's amazing.
Why wouldn't you want to listen to somebody like that, John? Why wouldn't you want to listen? And instead of being on your – I can't stand when the kids are on their phone and the game's on. Like, even my boys, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Who could you possibly be texting? What is so important right now that you're not watching the ball game? And mine are 22
and
19.
And they got it on mute. They have it on mute because they're listening to the videos. They're doing something else.
Right. Yep. True.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Now, we have two players that are online right now with us. Anthony, Eddie Bartoli, my question to you players, do you have fun participating in our program?
Absolutely. I mean, I love all the players that I get to play with. You know, everyone's got tremendous talent. You know, everybody just tries to help out the team. So, I mean, it's the same with the coaches. I mean, you, Coach John, I mean, I think you're a great coach. Same thing with all the other coaches. You know, I just ever since I started working with the program, I just wasn't as good as I thought it was. And then until I just started working with the program, you know, Coach John, I mean, I just gotten so much better, and my, you know, I've just been very good now. So I just appreciate it.
We'll let Dad know that you get to eat this week.
Oh, my little guy Anthony wants to say something too.
Appreciate y'all on this team. And thank you, Coach.
Awesome, Anthony. Thank you, Eddie. We have about 6 minutes left. Nick Langer, if you're on the line, say hi. He's probably still saving lives. Okay. So
yeah, Nick's been going crazy down there.
Yeah, he's had a rough go at it. We love him. He's been with us from a long time ago. He got to see the old regime versus the new. And he loves you guys. We have a lot of faith in this program. There's a lot of potential, and he's in for the long haul. So we have about 5 minutes left. What I wanted to do is turn the mic over to Mike to let us get some insight on what we can expect in the next week or so. I know there's talk about a PlayStation 4, the show league.
Hey.
Where we'll have a junior league and an adult league where kids can start playing and learning the game is very important. And you have some other things that you want to talk about. So take the floor for a couple of minutes, and I'll stop you when we need to.
Yeah, we're I think the number one thing is right now, look for videos that Coach Volpe and I have kind of started to curate for skill development, things that are going to build on what we sent out in our email earlier today or a few hours ago, actually, for you guys to build on your skills. So look for those nightly. We're gonna send some things out that we've seen recently that we really, really like that build on what we're looking at. So that's number one. Number two, just things that are going to keep you guys engaged and building on your skills. So I put something in my email to the parents earlier about our UHIP pitch recognition technology that everybody was able to partake in at the back complex. We actually have a mobile version to that that we're going to be able to let the kids get a free assessment to kind of see where they stand and see if they want to continue doing a little bit more of that. And then on the fun side of things, we're exploring, and again, don't hold us to being able to roll this out immediately, but we're going to push hard to see how we can kind of set some things up where you guys can work together in terms of, you know, MLB The Show, in terms of some leagues. And I'm sure you guys are already doing it. So any advice or emails you want to send out, if you guys have already set up some rooms or whatever the hell you call it, I sound like I'm really old right now, in terms of playing against each other, give us some info, and we'll see what we can get together for you guys too, so you can have some fun with that. I know that right now the NBA guys have their own leagues. On ESPN, I was even watching it earlier. I think it's crazy that we're watching video games on regular TV instead of real games, but we'll set something like that up so you guys can continue to interact with each other and for some team building stuff.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. Nick Langer has joined us. Nick, give us some perspective from a head coach view from being before and after. What do you think?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me? Just want to make sure.
Yes, we can.
Got you, Nick. Okay. And thank you for everything
right,
you're doing.
Got you. Hey, Nick, thank
yeah,
you.
Thank
so
you,
much
Nick,
for everything you're doing out there.
Yeah, of course. And thanks. I know we have some parents in the program who are nurses, work in the hospital. So thank you for all you guys are doing there. All right, I know it's not an easy time for you guys. But to give you a perspective from before and after, I think the biggest thing, honestly, I've seen is we have a full management team now. You know, between Coach Volpe, Coach Van Riper, you know, they really brought a good program over to Silverbacks. We're using a lot of our coaches towards their specialty. You know, like myself, my specialty is pitching. We have Vinny for catching. We have John Doherty for pitching as well. Joe Rock for hitting. And we have a lot of coaches that are very talented, very knowledgeable within their certain fields of baseball that we can start to utilize them now. And our classes too. You know, I heard Bill Dwyer earlier talking about the coach to player ratio. You know, in the past we used to have 23, 24 kids and one to two coaches. You know, everything good. But now we have a very good coach to player ratio, but we have just a full structure that we're following. You know, we're building up the pitchers' arms for hitters. We're having them use wood bats. We progress from tee work to soft toss to overhand BP, then to live hitting. We have a very good structure within the program, and we have a very solid team, and we all can rely on each other. And so that way we can really, you know, let the kids get the most out of it and really make sure that when they show up for their hour, hour and a half, that they're really getting their full work in, and they're everybody's leaving every day, you know, learning something new, which is huge. And I've seen huge improvements in the players I coach and in players I just met 3 months ago and to where they are now. You know, Coach Yock we have as well, and Scoobs, the catching guy. I mean, we brought on a lot of very good talent into our coaching staff, and that made a big deal and a big difference.
Yeah, so. I just want to interject and just say that watching these men coach these players has been a big positive in the program. You know, meeting these guys, these new coaches, watching them work, watching them learn. You know, it's what makes the program. It really does. And I can't be more thrilled to work with them.
We have about 5 seconds left. We'll see you guys next time. Look out for emails and check out our website. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
See you.
Thank you.